If those are in that financial class haven't already left, this is the time to go. I always feel funny. All these people, after the prayer, everybody gets up and leaves. All these people get up and leave, and you think, well, right. But anyway, Brother McConkie's running that financial class over there. Turn to Matthew 25, if you will. And while you're doing that, we could sure use some guys. By the way, if you need a worksheet, didn't get a worksheet, lift your hand up. We can do three things at one time here. Anybody need a worksheet? Just lift your hand up. Didn't get one? Okay, guys. We could use some help to set up the tables back here in the fellowship hall for the King's Daughters. That will be Friday. But if you could help us that after the service this evening, if you could help us after the service set up some tables, we'd really appreciate that. And I really want to encourage you to be here, guys and gals, for that. If we're with the guys down there for the master's men. But I think it'll be a real blessing to you. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and I tell you what, let's pray first, and I think I can save some time. We're kind of getting a late start here tonight, and I got drugged down a little bit there, but let's go ahead and pray, and we'll work our way through this judgment of the nations, and we're going to talk about how this is actually the parable of the talents applied, and we'll see that in a second here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the way you take care of us. I thank you for the way you teach us. And Lord, I thank you again that we come boldly to your throne of grace. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us this time. Pray that your Holy Spirit will move. Lord, I don't want to just waste time. I don't want to just save my thoughts. I want your word to come clear, and I want it to hit home in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'll just work in our lives here this evening. Again, thank you for all that's going on around here in each of the rooms around the campus. Lord, bless it. Use it. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to start here. Now, Jesus, we're going to actually start reading a little further, probably back in verse 14. Jesus has proven himself in the book of Matthew to be sovereign, king of the universe. He has authority over everything that's natural and supernatural. By the way, some of you could probably already do this intro for me, but that's good, because someone said, what happens in Matthew? And you'll turn the tape on and say, well, Matthew, tell you, that'll be good. That's what we're supposed to do here. Study to show ourselves approved, a work that needeth not to be ashamed. So Jesus has come unto his own. His own has received them not. Jesus has pronounced to them that they are left desolate, and that they will not see him again until he comes again as the King of Kings at the end of the age. Well, that's pretty scary. So Jesus then goes on to explain to the disciples. They said, well, how do we know when the end of the age is going to be? And he explains to them and tells them when the end of the age is near. He gave us some signs and so forth. He said, that we'll know, because we will see these things. Now Jesus then warns them in the parable of the 10 virgins to be ready when he comes and to not allow his coming judgment to sneak up on them. Sometimes we just kind of sleep. Fact is, in the virgins there, you had 10 that had oil in their lamps and 10 who didn't. And they were all going through the process, all going through the decoration, if you will, going through the ritual of it. But the fact is, unless you're saved, unless you've got the Holy Spirit, and you're not going. You got to make sure you're saved, make sure you're ready. Then in the parable of the talents, beginning in verse 14, the parable of the talents, Jesus warns us to be ready also in our actions by having wisely invested our time, our energies, our loyalties, our assets, our opportunities that he gives us during the time that we have left here on earth. So let me read a little bit starting in verse 14. I know we're going to go out here a good ways, but I want you to see it. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country. Jesus Christ, going to heaven. He told his disciples, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you. That's part of the opportunity, the gifts. He says, he traveled to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, the things that were valuable. They were of use. Things that they were supposed to invest in the kingdom, if you will, to progress the kingdom, to profit the kingdom. Unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, unto another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We all have things we can do, also have things we can't do. That's all part of the deal. We're not all supposed, you know, if we all did the same thing, we'd run on top, we would be in each other's way. The fact is, if you're both the same, one's of you is probably unnecessary. We're all supposed to be different. There's not one person that's exactly like another person. You know, Pastor Dallas and his brother are twins. And they have the same giggle. If you get them together, they have that same little giggle and they kind of look alike. But the fact is, they're so different. They are just so different. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. He made use of them. He invested the opportunity. He invested the assets. He made use of them and made with them five talents. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So at the end of the age, if you will, Jesus comes back. And he says, okay, let's see how you did with what I gave you. One of these days, we will stand before him and give an account of what we've done. We will be judged by what we've done in this body. You know, what we do when we maybe wood, hay, and stubble, or maybe be something of value. And some of us will probably lose everything if we're doing it in the wrong reason, the wrong heart, the wrong thing. And yet, if you're saved, you're saved yet so as by fire, we're still saved. But I don't want to meet him with nothing in my hands. I don't want to meet him having not done anything with what he's given me to use. Verse 20, and so he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Look at what he got out of it. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto them, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said to the Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strewed. And thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It continues right on. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. He's now going to explain the parable of the talents. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, When saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into life eternal. This is an interesting passage. The master has given assets, opportunities, to be used by his servants while he's gone. We talked about how the ones who used what he had invested, the goods, profited the kingdom. But then there was the one who basically failed. He failed to invest the opportunities, the assets, the abilities that he had. He had been given by the Lord. He failed to invest them. And then he basically condemned the master. He calls him mean. He calls him a menace. He says, I know you're a hard man, you know, and you get what you want no matter what happens. And God calls, in fact, the slothful servant blames the master for his lack of diligence. He says, I was scared. I didn't know what you were going to do. So I just said, I'm not going to do anything. The fact is, he disrespected the master. The master here is Jesus Christ. Now, yes, he's the sovereign God, but if you know Jesus, you've got to know that he's not the one that's going to, he has no desire that any should perish. He's full of mercy. His mercy endures forever. In fact, when it's all said and done, he says that he was supposed to go into everlasting punishment where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The boy didn't lose his salvation. He never had it. He did not possess. He that hath shall have more abundance. He that hath not, he'll have taken what he did have. Listen, we have life, but a person can have a physical life and not have an eternal life. But you get, listen, if you're alive and you have eternal life, God's gonna bless you on top of that, and there's more coming on the other side. But the fact is, if we're not saved on this side, when once we die, we've lost what little we did have. And then the rewards go to the faithful. When you're rewarded for serving God, the reward is actually more opportunity. More opportunity to be faithful, to do more work for Him, to do greater things for Him. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So there is a reckoning. There are repercussions. And so we found out that we will give an account to God. That's what the talents are all about. Now on your paper, let me show you how this kind of applies to us now. Number one, I want to show you the return of the master. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. The return of the master. The master will return after a long time. Matthew 25 there says, when the Son of Man shall come in his... Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He will come. That's what they're talking about in verse 19, where it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. If you want to look at it real quick with me, I've got 2 Peter. Just hold your place. We're going to be right back to Matthew. But 2 Peter chapter 3, you've seen that before. But the fact is, it says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles, the Lord and Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with fire, with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Basically, he's telling us, there it is, it backs it up. There's going to be a day. It may be a long time. It could be another 100 years before he comes back. We think, well, how in the world could that be with all that's going on there? Day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. We don't know when it's going to be, and nobody else does. I got a letter in the mail today. We're all going to die before the month of November is over. People, you know, they send these things. This lady, who's the prophet, by the way, she's in our county, and she sent this to all the York County churches and the World Council of Churches and all this stuff, and the fact is, so it's all going to happen before November's over. But it might happen, but she doesn't know one way or the other. But the fact is, it is going to happen, and he will return, and he's not backing off. Jesus is still the sovereign of the universe, and we still remember we're going to have to give a reckoning unto him. Letter B, Jesus is judge. Jesus is judge. It says, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. That applies to all of us. There's actually some who say this passage doesn't apply to anybody but the Jews. That's not what it says here. Gathered before all the nations means all the races, all the tribes. And he shall separate them one from another. It means he's going to mark them out, set them off, appoint. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So the Lord is going to reckon with the servants. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, the fact is, there are some folks who these are nations, I understand, but we all face God individually. He's not going to send an entire nation to hell because every soul is an individual soul. But the fact is, it comes from all nations. Every tribe and nation shall be represented in heaven. And the same thing, every tribe and nation is going to be represented at the throne, at the judgment. Number two, I want you to see the reward of the master. The reward of the master. And letter A, the commendation. The commendation. Look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You could say it this way. In our parable, verse 21, he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23, to the one who had two and gained another two, it says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The king is going to say, you are my right hand, enter what you've inherited from being part of the family. See, and remember this. I mentioned this last week. We were going all through this. What the servant who only got one talent was missing, he says he hath not, was he hath not the Spirit of God. He was none of his. He put him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast ye the unprofitable servant, verse 30, into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That phrase is only used two other times, they're both in Matthew, and they both refer to someone who is lost and going to the separation from God. So I really believe that this is going to do the exact same thing. There's no reason why it shouldn't. So he's saying, we've got some who have and some who don't. In fact, it says, prepare for you from the foundation of the world. You say, well, Calvinism. No, it's not Calvinism. God knows the foreknowledge of God. See, we have a hard time understanding that. No matter how much we try, it seems like our finite mind sticks itself in there and tries to deal with things the way we would deal with them. Oh, it's like somebody's sin was a surprise to us. Well, it is to us. is not the God. He knows the ones who's going to receive Christ and who's not going to receive Christ. It's the foreknowledge of God. So now he's saying here, I knew and I have been waiting for you since the foundation of the world. And so he commends them. He's saying, he says, blessed, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Letter B, I want you to see the evidence. This is interesting. The evidence of what? The evidence of the servant's faithfulness. But why was he faithful? Because he was family. He was a child of God, if you will. He had the Spirit. He says, come ye blessed. He said, and because this is in, I love this little passage here. He says, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. In other words, you put these two together. Remember, the master gave them things. He delivered unto him his goods, things of value, the talents. And he wanted them to work those talents. You were here, you know what I'm talking about. We went through all that. To profit the kingdom. Now, what's he telling him to do? Work the opportunities and the assets that I have given you. Now just hang tight with me. I think you're going to understand here. These servants worked the goods that were delivered to them. How? Well, when he was hungry, he gave him meat. Thirsty, he gave him drink. He was a stranger, he took him in. Naked, he clothed him. Sick, he visited him. Was in prison, he came unto him. The faithful servants serve because they hath. Hath what? Hath the Spirit. The goods that were delivered to the servants was the Spirit of God, and that comes with him. It's part of who he is. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, faith. So the Christian servant's life is not about self, but about others. Now listen, they had something here. They were working the goods. Listen, if you've been saved, we ought to be living. He said, you have the Spirit, well, we ought to walk in the Spirit. That's what he says in Galatians. In other words, work what God has given you. Listen, we still have that flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another that you cannot do what you would. You let the flesh lead, you can't do what the Spirit wants to do. You let the Spirit lead, it's going to overrule the flesh. You cannot be walking the Spirit and the flesh at the same time. So he says, listen, do something, invest what God has given you. He's given you of His Spirit. He's given you of His love, of His gentleness, of His goodness, of His meekness, of His long-suffering. Use it. Invest it. How do you invest it? In lives. They were hungered, gave them meat. They were thirsty, gave them drink. Now, it's not about, now we can do all those things and still not have really invested what God has given. We can do that and not even be saved. But I don't think you can be saved and walking with the Lord and not be having some kind of compassion and feeling for somebody else. In other words, it's a Christian servant's life is not about self, it's about others. Let me show you letter C. The reality of the faithful servant. The reality. Who is he really? Well, this I love this. So he says, well, enter into the joy of the Lord. Come, you blessed of the Father, because you, when I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and all those, okay? And 37, I love this. They said, then the righteous answer him, saying, now hold on here, Lord. I think I missed something. Now, when was it that we saw you hungered and we fed thee? What? I mean, I don't remember doing anything good to you. I mean, I don't remember being good. Or thirsty and we gave thee drink. And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And a king shall answer and say unto them, all right, I'm going to tell you the truth. Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've heard me say this. Jesus says, the poor you shall always have with me, with you. The poor you shall always have with you. And I think it's like he wants them there to test us, if you will, to see if you love. You know, people are different. There's a lot of different kinds of people in the world. And some rub you the right way and some don't. That's just the way it is. I just can't stand to be around that person. There's your opportunity to work the goods that God has given you. That's the time. How about the time when you're really, really, really busy? You don't really have time, but the person starts asking questions about salvation. That's the good time to work the goods that God has given you. That person who just can't stand, it comes to you and just, you know, gives you a hard time and cranks on you. And that's the time you work the goods. You invest the goods that God has given you. Because what are they supposed to do? They are to see Christ. The whole idea is for them to come to Christ. But how they're going to see Christ? Through us. Lifestyle evangelism. But I tell you what, your lifestyle can ruin your evangelism. In fact, your lifestyle can ruin your chances to ever evangelize certain people if we don't watch what we do. I mean, the fact is, we may not even be doing anything to a particular person. They just see us doing it to somebody else or hear us gossiping about somebody else. We've lost our opportunity. We could have worked the goods, but we didn't. These servants are the real thing. In fact, they were so much the real thing, they really weren't trying to earn God's approval or his reward. They were just living out what they are. In fact, I don't think they didn't even realize they had done anything good. You know what I found? Usually the most spiritual people really aren't even the ones that, oh, well, I never did. Oh, I didn't do anything. I don't think it's that. It's just like, what? I don't know. They just do. They're not waiting for a pat on the back. They're not waiting for anybody to say, oh, aren't they wonderful? They're not looking for a church that's a mutual admiration club. They come and say, Lord, what can I do to serve you better? How can I invest your goods even better? What can I do to work the goods to get a greater profit for the kingdom? Tell me. I want to do a better job today than I did yesterday. These people were the real thing. Number three, the reckoning of the slothful servant. The reckoning of the slothful servant. Letter A, the judgment. The judgment. Pronounce the judgment. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. That word cursed there means the one that's already been pronounced that they're in trouble. It's one who's been pronounced that they're in trouble. He says, ye cursed, enter, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, what's the evidence? What's the evidence that he does not, that do not have the Spirit of God? He that hath shall have more given. He that hath not shall have what he did have taken away. Now, if he said, he that hath not shall have taken away that which he had. Well, how can he have something taken away if he hath not? And that weird, you know, said, he hath not. So you're going to take away what he does have. Well, if he hath not, well, then what are you going to take away? He has nothing to take away. And so what, you see what I'm saying? Kind of weird little phrase there. What he's saying is, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The real value. He doesn't have the goods. All the servants were there, but some had the goods and some didn't. He doesn't have what he's supposed to have. And the evidence was here, verse 42. He says, for I wasn't hungered, and you gave me no meat. He says, you saw me hungry. You saw the need. Didn't care. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger in town, and you took me not in. Naked. You clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Now, let me give a little bit of a clarification here. It doesn't mean everybody comes downtown and knocks on your door and says, give me a place to stay. You're supposed to give them a place to stay. That's not what he's saying there. He's giving you a principle. Don't throw it out of context here. No, throw it all out. Fact is, you've got to be careful who you take in your house. I understand that. But there are some legitimate needs. It may be physical. It may be spiritual. I think a lot of times he uses very physical things to teach us a spiritual truth. But the fact is, we ought to have compassion on others. The evidence is for them that they should be cast in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels. Now we know where that is. The evidence was, he says, they're still selfish. Now there's a little selfishness in all of us. It's still there. The flesh against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. But in general, who are you? Well, I don't have time for them. It's too much for this. Well, I got this, and I've got that to do, and I don't. Our works express much about our spiritual condition. And really, what's happening here is that it was all about them. It was still all about them. Still all, you know, when we're selfish, it's all about us. We're still not taking, we're taking no thought of others. We're not really a bit like Jesus when you say it that way. And apparently, we have not the Spirit of God. Because if we had the Spirit of God, our actions would reflect that. Luke 6:43 says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit, for of the thorns men do gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It was not the presence. Watch. What did he say? I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. Wait a minute. You're gonna hold that against me? See, it was not the presence of any particular sin that we are not to do. He didn't say, you cheated on your wife, you're going to hell. He didn't say, you killed somebody. Cast me out of darkness. He didn't say you lied. He didn't say you stole. What he said was, there was somebody who was thirsty. You didn't give him a drink. You didn't care about him. You didn't have any compassion. You didn't have any love for these people. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The problem was not what they didn't do. It's not what that they did that they were not supposed to do. The problem was absence of the love of God in their life. The love of God not only doesn't do wrong, but it seeks to do good. It seeks for an opportunity. Brother McConkie and I were having lunch today. We were talking about this, and we hear different kinds of things at different churches, and you know, people say, we're going to do this for the Lord, we're going to do this for the Lord, and so forth. But and I'm not going to beat up everybody who did this, because we probably have all done this to, you know, a lot, churches all over the world probably have done this. But you say, well, I've got a goal. We want to see how many folks we can get saved. Now, that sounds like a good goal. The problem is, if we're not careful, I'm trying to get rewards on how many other people I can get to say a prayer. But I tell you what I can do. I can say, I'm going to set a goal on how many people, how many doors I'm going to knock on. I can tell, I'm going to set a goal on trying to talk to so many people per week about their soul. I mean, there's plenty of people. I mean, that is saying, I'm going to do something for God. I'm not requiring you to do something for God so I can get credit for it. Listen, Jesus was not trying to put notches in his belt. He was trying to see how many people he could touch, how many lives he could touch, how many people he could show the glory of God to. Now, listen, when you say, well, it doesn't matter how many you could save, I didn't say that. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. My goal is to give the gospel in the spirit of the Holy Spirit and let them see the truth of God. Let them see the glory of who God is. And give them the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now watch this. Letter C. The ignorance. The ignorance. I-G-N-O-R-A-N-C-E. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister unto thee? We never saw you out there. You know what they're saying? If we saw you, we would have done something. I mean, Master, if we'd come across you on the road, we would have stopped for you. He says, that's not the point. Now watch this. God's not hungry. God's not thirsty. God's not naked. And he's never a stranger because it's all his. And he's never been in prison except to pick the heart of us. Somebody else is in there. You know what I'm saying? They would have served him to make the master happy. See, I don't want you to serve him and make the master happy. I want you to serve. That makes the master happy. You see what I'm saying? He says, then shall y'all answer and say, fairly, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, of least of these, you did it not to me. He didn't say, it's not that you did something to one of these, it's that you didn't do something. You know, it's kind of like mercy. God in his mercy does not send us to hell. That's good. God in his grace gives us heaven. Far greater than mercy. Mercy is not giving us the punishment we deserve. Grace is giving us the blessings we don't deserve. That's Christ. You know what we say? You said, well, you know, that person that down there, you didn't feed him. Yeah, but I didn't smack him in the nose either. Well, you ought to give me some credit here because I'm telling you what, that guy gets on my nerves. Man, he steps on my last nerve and he just kind of grinds on it there. And I didn't punch him out. I mean, I ought to get some credit for that. You want to get some credit for that? Kind of like the one, the fellow who came to the king and he owed him millions of dollars, you know, and he said, you can't pay that. Let the guy, let it go. I'll just eat it. And then he goes out and grabs some guy by the nape of the neck for a $5 bill. That's what he's talking about here. We don't get it. Don't understand. You know, if we could, I'm kind of working on some things for next year here, but I don't want to wait till the end, but the theme is only Jesus. But the fact is, if we could just get in our mind what Jesus has done for us, oh, my soul. Every mouth would be stopped, as the Bible says. Put a plug in it. We have nothing to complain about. Number four, and the buses can take off. The final result. The final result for the servants. Now, I want you to understand this. The results of the servants in this verse is not because of their actions. Their actions are the result of who they are. Okay? The ones who lived for others, somebody probably thinks they've lost it all. But he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You get everything. The one who's just trying to keep the way the problems, don't want all the issues, and is living for self, taking care of himself right now, loses it all. I've had people tell me, if I get saved, then I have to change some things, and I'm not ready to change those yet. I've had several, not many, two or three, but I know at least two who have said, well, if I get saved, then I'm probably supposed to change some things. Well, it'd be good, but he'll help you. You know, you try to say, okay, it's all right. Let him do the work. But you know what? But the fact is, I don't know if they can get saved, and here's why. They haven't decided that the sin's bad enough. Sin is sin. I deserve hell. So do you. And he says, I'll give you heaven. Verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So back to our parable of talents. Verse 21, it says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23 says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And verse 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are not saved by works. But I really do believe that a lot of folks think I can work up righteousness. But our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. If I work it up, it's just filthy rags. If God makes me new, then it's the work of the Spirit. If I let him live through me. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we've lived so long in the other way of thinking. We all have flesh, and we can get ourselves in trouble, and we can, you know, get ourselves, have a pity party, and the husband comes home, and you crank all over him, or she says something, and you crank all over her, or the kids do something, or whatever it is, or it's the neighbor, they let the dog out, and he did his business on your front yard again, and, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff happens. I understand that. But God says, I give you something to invest. Jesus says, it's good that I go because the Comforter will come. It's that gift of his Spirit, of who he is. He says, now these are the goods. Invest them in the kingdom. Multiply yourself. And when I come back, I'll make sure the reckoning is fair. Reckoning is fair. Let's stop. Father, we thank you again for speaking to us here this evening. A little tough to bring all that concept together, but Lord, you know what the word is, and may your Holy Spirit move. Lord, forgive us when we get so selfish. Sometimes we can get just like those who aren't even saved. I understand that. But Lord, if there be some here that are somehow trying to work up their salvation, work up their righteousness, thinking if they do, thus they are. Lord, help us to see clearly. Make sure that's not the case. And if it is, well then, Lord, we need to get some oil in our lamps like those 10 virgins so we're ready to meet you when the day comes. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, the rest of us there, those who know Christ as Savior, may we make good use, good investment of the goods that you've given us, so that when we see you face to face, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And Lord, in fact, between now and then, you may even give us more opportunities to be used of you. Help us to see them as opportunities and see the world through the eyes of your Son. Thank you for what you've done to us and for us. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.